It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Kurt Schultz. Kurt is Senior Director of Global Strategies with the U.S. Grains Council. Kurt, great to see you.
Yes, thank you for coming by this afternoon.
Let's talk about, we talk global strategies. I mean, obviously, we're talking exports there. What's the export trend right now when you look across the numbers?
Yeah. Well, first of all, let me just clarify for your listeners. The U.S. Grains Council represents U.S. corn, barley, and sorghum farmers. So we have, in one sense, a limited view on those three commodities and some of their co-products and obviously ethanol. But we have seen very robust exports this year. We're actually in a situation where we're about 12 million tons above exports at this same time last year, which is roughly around 500 million bushels of corn exports in addition to what we normally export. So this has been a very, very good year for us in the export arena, but that in large part is driven by prices. And, you know, and we can't ignore the fact that still we have very low farm gate prices for farmers around the country. And so, you know, that is a concern for us. And that's really what's driving a lot of the exports is the availability. We have a very large corn crop that needs to be moved, but it's also at a cheap price. And it really has forced a lot of our competitors out of the market during this time period.
Are buyers assured that they're getting a quality product when they buy from the U.S.? Is that covered as well?
Yes, that's a large part of what we do. Is when we see the crop coming out, we try to get out early and talk to our international buyers. We do have a couple tools that we use. We do an early harvest or a harvest quality report that as the crop is coming out of the field, we're trying to get out and we actually get samples. We have a company that will go out and sample and put together a report on the quality. And then later on, a couple months later, we follow up with an export cargo report, which is sampling the grain at export. And so we're out as early as possible talking to our buyers about what we're seeing in each year's crop, what are the positive attributes and what are the attributes that they should be concerned about. We believe by being transparent and promoting U.S. Grains as transparently as possible, we create credibility not only for ourselves but also for our farmers. And that's one of the advantages that you get from buying from the United States. You have transparency in the quality that you see coming out, but you also have institutions such as the Federal Grain Inspection Service that is monitoring vessels at loading to ensure that they comply with the contract requirements for the international buyer. Not all countries have that, and so that is one of our marketing advantages.
So when we're talking about the exports, where are they coming from? Are these the normal buyers that we're normally seeing? Do we have new buyers coming in?
It's a combination of both. Certainly, some of our strongest buyers have been countries that we have free trade agreements with. And so if you look at, I believe we have about 20 countries that we have free trade agreements with, and they buy about roughly 50% of all corn exports. By far, Mexico is, this is the year, actually, noteworthy year, that Mexico became our number one buyer or importer of U.S. corn. Traditionally, that position was held by Japan, but Mexico is livestock industry is growing. It's a robust relationship, and it's a healthy relationship, and so it is something where we don't have competition in Mexico, and so any investment that U.S. agriculture, the Grains Council, puts into the Mexican environment is usually going to result in additional sales or benefits to U.S. farmers. That's one example. But we also have offices. We have 10 international offices around the world, some places where we have very low market share. And their job is to try to get U.S. grains into new markets or to capture more market share. And so countries like Bangladesh and Myanmar, have imported U.S. corn recently. Vietnam and China have imported small quantities. And so those are markets where we have offices active trying to promote sales of U.S. corn. In addition, we have very reliable buyers. For example, Peru and Colombia are very reliable buyers. We have free trade agreements with them. And we're active trying to see what we can do to expand the livestock industries that would be consuming those grains and so that they buy more.
What about success stories? Are there a few you can just pull off the top of your head where you go, wow, this is... our efforts really pay off?
Yeah, there are a lot of different success stories, and we try to measure them on an annual basis to justify what we do, not only to our stakeholders, to USDA, but also it's just a good way for us to really see what's going on. And so I'll use the example of China. China a few years ago became the number one importer of U.S. sorghum. And prior to that, they did not import any U.S. sorghum. And the council was very active in introducing sorghum into China. And as a result, a lot of it was driven by political situations in China as to why they favored U.S. sorghum over corn and other products. But we were able to take advantage of that opportunity and really build that market. And it's a market that's probably worth over $2 billion of sales to the U.S. sorghum industry. So that's one clear-cut example of how we can go into a market and see, oh, this may not be a corn market, but this is an opportunity for sorghum. Another example is our director in Southeast Asia saw that there was an opportunity, given high internal prices of corn in Bangladesh, that the livestock industry was looking desperately for other sources. Traditionally, they buy from neighboring countries, and those prices were not attractive. The U.S. actually had the ability to export to Bangladesh, which is, again, you think about it, is halfway around the world. And he went in and started talking to the industry and brought a team to the United States. And shortly thereafter, we had several sales of U.S. corn go into Bangladesh. Another thing that we do, every 2 years, we do what we call an export exchange. This last year in 2016, we held it in Detroit, and we bring in all our major international buyers and a lot of our domestic exporters, and we host a 2.5-day conference focusing on supply and demand and purchasing and the logistics and new technologies related to the feed and livestock industry. And the idea is to bring people together so that they can do business. And we do a survey of the participants at the conclusion of the conference, and we were able to track over $460 million in sales during this 2.5-day period. Now, those are things that show the value of bringing people together, not only just for business relationships, but also for creating opportunity for exchanging new ideas and new technologies. And because ultimately, we're looking at the short-term sale, but also the long-term opportunity. How do we stay in a market? How do we build a customer that appreciates what the U.S. suppliers have and also has a relationship that they, as their business grows, U.S. Farmers also benefit because they're going to come back and buy more product from them.
So much going on, and this is even at a time when we're starting some renegotiation of trade deals. But when it comes to your marching orders for the Grains Council, really comes from your membership, right? It's not dictated by policy or whatever.
Yes. We have a very healthy and active membership based on U.S. farmer producers that are on our boards, involved in our advisory teams. And I can use an example of a year ago. It was very clear to us, but also very clear to our members, that we were going to have a record corn crop. Producers were very concerned about corn prices, and the mandate was we needed to get out and really push aggressively. with our international markets. And so we had this little term we joked about internally, which was called mucho maize. You know, we were talking to all our overseas offices and our consultants that we have a large corn crop and we need to be pushing it. And it's kind of nice to look back at the last 9 months, which has been very active. And as a result of that, we've had a series of seminars, workshops, trade teams, anything that we could do. People have been working overtime overseas to really push buyers to be aware of what's available in the United States. And that in large part, that's driven the increase, what we've seen, which is, total exports of around 44 million metric tons, whereas last year they were at 31 million. So that 12.6 million ton increase is driven in large part by this active promotion effort. And the reality is of, international trade and prices. We can't move it all by ourselves. But that's being responsive. Now our members are coming back and saying we want to continue, obviously, because we have another large corn crop coming at us. We also see still corn prices as being very low. And they also want to see more ethanol exports. There's an opportunity in the ethanol industry to really create a new avenue for corn to export in liquid form that can go into automobile fuels around the world. And so that's another area that the council's been very engaged in the last 3 or 4 years and really ramping up and being responsive to the dictates or the interests of the industry and where they see opportunities for growth. So we are a partnership between our organization and the producers in the field.
Kurt Schultz is Senior Director of Global Strategies for the U.S. Grains Council in Washington, D.C. I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.